Well, good afternoon, everyone. And welcome back to another exciting episode of Red Pill News Live. It airs at the exact same time, 5 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Thursday. If you're new here, or you were waiting in the chat for 3 hours before the show started, I just want to bring to your attention that there's at least three different spots on screen and where it tells you that the show starts at 5 p.m. I don't want you to waste your time. You know, I mean, I want you to be here when the show starts. I don't want you to have to feel like you got to just sit there waiting for me to start the show. So if that was you, hey, let's kiss and make up. I'm always going to be here, 5 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Thursday. And then if you're interested, Fridays and Saturdays at 9 o'clock p.m. This weekend, you guys, I, of course, on Friday went to the General Flynn movie premiere. It was great. I'm putting together a whole bunch of footage. I'm probably going to be releasing that early tomorrow. Got a little bit more work to do on it tonight. I had a great time, though. It was pretty awesome meeting all those people. Today, we almost witnessed Armageddon, but obviously since the show's here, it means nothing happened. So sit back, relax, grab your popcorn, and we're going to be right back after this. Warnings of a recession are growing louder as we near sell in May and go away. Citibank warned the soft landing dream is over. The U.S. economy is headed for a recession in the middle of 2024. Morgan Stanley warns a U.S. dollar regime shift could threaten stocks. And meanwhile, the Fed's most trusted recession indicator is flashing code red, because every recession since 1945 has been preceded by a yield curve inversion. Meanwhile, the M2 money supply is meaningfully contracting for only the fifth time since 1870. All signs appear to point to a sizable downturn for the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ. Now, meanwhile, gold prices have been hitting all-time highs, and the rally is far from over. Now, y'all know silver is always late to the party, but once it finds momentum, it can easily outperform gold. So protect your retirement with gold or place a bullish bet on silver. Call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Just mention Red Pill 78 and this show, Red Pill News, and you're always going to get best-in-class service from Patriots Protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the no-fee for Life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you just might be eligible for that no fee for life IRA on qualifying rollovers. So give them a call today at 888-857-6092 and get your free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer for 7 years in a row. Call them today at 888-857-6092. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right. Welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. And even if you were here for 3 hours today, just hanging out in the chat, don't make me stop you. Don't even let me dissuade you. If that's what you want to do, I'm totally cool with it. I just didn't like the idea that people were thinking that the show was going to start and they didn't realize, because they didn't see on screen that it tells you the show starts at 5 p.m. So let me be very, very clear. If you want to hang out in that chat for 3 hours talking to the awesome people who are hanging out in this audience, that is your prerogative and I support it 100%. But if you've got other stuff to do, then don't feel like you are obligated to do so. Well, my friends, today was the day of the total solar eclipse, and absolutely nothing happened. As far as I'm aware, no major events taking place across America, no disaster scenarios. I guess there was a mass shooting of sorts happened, I think, in Las Vegas in a courtroom. But, I mean, it's Vegas, and of course, people go crazy in court. Remember that guy a couple of months ago who did like a super launch from the defense table onto the judge? I couldn't even believe that. Anyways, it was probably something like that. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. I want to begin today by giving credit where credit is due. President Trump, as we know, the most popular, the most loved, the most well-received candidate in the history of the United States of America, the best president we've ever had, best president perhaps of this century, if not the last 200 years. Well, President Trump continues to surprise everyone, most of all the mainstream media, who continue to just be confounded by the fact that he grows daily by leaps and bounds over Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., the current resident of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Buck Wayne says the apocalypse turned out to be a pack of lips babbling about much ado about nothing. Yes, I love the Shakespeare reference. It certainly was much ado about nothing. I knew nothing was going to happen, you know, but I mean, and I hope that everybody out here was confident that nothing was going to happen either. I certainly hope that you didn't lose any sleep over it. This is one of those psychological operations that they kind of put out there into the world. They make people feel the fear of the potentiality of what might happen. And let's be honest. I mean, you could walk outside right now, crossing the street, get hit by a bus. You might die, but it's not going to stop you from going out to the mailbox. Or hopefully it shouldn't stop you from going out to the mailbox. It's like every time I get on a plane, I know that it might crash or there might be some other major malfunction. I mean, heck, it's 2024 and Boeing is still flying around in the air. However, it's not going to stop me if I need to fly to go someplace. TZ Burton says Jimmy Carter is Joe Biden's biggest supporter. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, considering the fact that Jimmy Carter before Joe Biden was universally recognized as the worst president in American history. Certainly, he got taken for a ride at the very tail end there. No matter what you think about Ronald Reagan and the Iran-Contra affair, it was a brilliant political maneuver. I gotta also give credit where credit's due. Let me also say thank you so much to Cyber X Speed, who says, good evening, everyone. Hope you had a great weekend. As do I. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Lou Ann V says, drops a fleet. Lou Ann, thank you for your generosity. She says, if I had a fleet of spaceships, I could have seen the eclipse above those thick clouds. I'm interested to know what you guys saw, if anything. I know I posted something about no matter like which state you were in, what the visibility was going to be like. And there were like eight people who laughed at it. I'm assuming that they think that the sun is fake and gay. And that's fine. I don't really care. Thank you to Tennessee TCB, taking care of business. Thank you for the cookie. Porpoiseful says, thank you for all your great work, Zach. Thank you so much, Porpoiseful, for your generous support, for being here every single day. I never miss a chance to see your name out there. Ainsley says, especially now, Zach, in the era of DEI, I'll never fly again. Sorry. And I don't begrudge you that thing, that right. But unfortunately, as part of my job, I don't really have much of a choice. Based upon my schedule and the events that I have to go to, which are in other states, the best I can do is put it in God's hands. And if he's going to take me home, he's going to take me home. Honestly, I'm really not that concerned about it. I don't believe that I'm going to die anytime soon. And I think probably most young people believe that as well, although I'm not that young anymore and I'm starting to show my age. However, I will say this. I am not afraid of dying. I am not afraid of coming home if I need to come home. And I was just telling Lisa before the show started, you know, I don't know how much time we got. I don't know how much longer we're going to be here. But my intention, my full intention is to live life to the fullest until the moment that I stop living. And so fear just does not play into it. So, but I understand you guys. I mean, everybody's different. And there is a reason to be afraid of flying on a Boeing flight. Let's be perfectly honest. All right, you guys. Let me see here. We're going to I got a couple of things I want to give credit to President Trump for before we get into the eclipse talk. I got a video. I have an actual video of the eclipse from earlier today, if you didn't get a chance to see it. So let's go ahead and jump right in to President Trump. Now, it was reported last week that Bill Clinton, Barry Obama, Barry Sotomayor, and who was it? Was it George W. Bush? They all got together to campaign with Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., and they raised a record-breaking $25 million in a single day, and everybody was falling all over themselves. The mainstream media, this is exactly what Joe Biden needs. It shows the American people support him. He needs the money to beat Donald Trump. Well, guess what? Over the weekend, Donald Trump smashed that record, literally smashed through the glass ceiling. He doubled, more than doubled Joe Biden's record-breaking haul of $25 million. That means that for about 25 hours, Joe Biden was the record holder with $25 million. However, President Trump now shattering that record, fundraising more than $50 million at a single fundraiser down here in the beautiful, sunny state of Florida, where freedom rings and liberty lives. President Trump raising more than $50 million on Saturday. That, of course, smashes the record set by two presidents and the alleged 81 million vote getter, who is, of course, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., the current resident of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Now, President Trump went into that event expecting to smash Joe Biden's record, but he was taken aback. Everybody was taken aback. They didn't expect him to more than double it. He figured he was going to raise about $33 million, and the RNC raised about $65.6 million. But Joe Hoft of the – Joe and Jim Hoft, rather, of the Gateway Pundit said that former Presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton joined together with Joe Biden and leftist celebrities like Lizzo and Stephen Colbert, who just – essentially murdered his longtime personal aide because they forced everybody working for him to get the clot shot. Also, Lizzo, she's the one who got sued for sexual harassment. She's the one who was apparently making her backup dancers do disgusting things if they wanted to keep their jobs. Of course, she's going to support Joe Biden. Now, this is clearly not the type of people that America is tuned into. This is that 1% of the most illiterate and completely toxic 1% of America, like the upper crust of the Ivory Palace DNC elite. But generally speaking, American people, the people who vote, are the ones who are donating to Donald Trump. And even among the wealthier people of the United States of America, business owners, America First business owners, first and foremost, they're also supporting President Trump. So President Trump raising over $50 million in a single evening. It took three Democrats to raise $25 million and also a president to raise over $50 million. President Trump clearly is the winner of this past weekend. Now, this wasn't like a huge event. This was at a private home in Palm Beach. It was hosted by a billionaire by the name of John Paulson. I'm not familiar with John, but clearly President Trump is tight with him. There was only about 100 or so guests, but it was bigwigs like Steve Wynn, the casino mogul, Robert Bigelow of Bigelow Aerospace, and of course, former U.S. Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross. The response to our fundraising efforts has been overwhelming, and we raised over $43 million so far. That was obviously earlier in the evening. There is massive support amongst a broad spectrum of donors, and that's what's most important here. This is not a race that is about race. This is not a race that is about class. This is not a race that is about religion. This is a broad sector of the American people of all races, creeds, and colors who support Donald Trump because they support what America stands for, and they support what America has lost, getting it back because they know Donald Trump is the key to that. Rolling back all of the draconian measures that Joseph Biden has put into place, and new ones went into place earlier today. We'll discuss that, too. So with this fundraiser now, President Biden is reported to have around $192 million on hand. Well, President Trump was said to have about $93 million on hand. So now we're going to be looking at closer to $150 million on hand. Something tells me President Trump is not going to have to spend all of that, but Joe Biden is going to have to spend virtually every single cent reaching the American people because he's not going to be able to get out there and campaign in person in the same way that President Trump is. Now, if it's not enough that President Trump is defending himself against all of the lawfare tactics of the Biden regime using the Department of Justice and various states' attorneys generals and county attorneys and district attorneys to go after him, President Trump is now also suing that far-left judge Juan Merchan, the same judge who's overseeing the Stormy Daniels so-called hush money payment trial. So earlier today, President Trump sued Juan Merchan The lawsuit is under seal, but the court docket has revealed that President Trump requested a change of venue, and he's asked for a stay on the expanded gag order. That gag order, which was filed very recently, that stops President Trump from being able to speak about anybody that Juan Marchand deems permissible. So can't talk about Juan Marchand. You can't talk about his daughter who's representing Democrats. You can't talk about any of the Democrats who work in the courtroom. You can't talk about the crooked DA. You can't talk about the crooked attorney general. You can't talk about anybody if Juan Marchand says you can't. Now, President Trump last Friday also filed a motion requesting that Juan Marchand be recused, specifically because of that political work being done by his daughter, the daughter who's clearly biased against President Trump, absolutely hates him. If I know anything about my own family, you know, you talk to your kids. You talk to your kids. And if your kids say, hey, Dad, you know what would make me really happy? If you just took one for the team and actually convict this guy and get rid of him. That sounds like the kind of thing a Democrat would do. Now, I'm sure if it was our family, our kids would be saying, you know, Father, do the right thing. That's what my daughter calls me, Father. Father, do the right thing. Do what's best for the country. And that wouldn't be convicting Donald Trump or holding this trial at all. So as soon as we get these court documents unsealed, then obviously we're going to have an opportunity to go after them. But President Trump has asked an appellate court for a change of venue in this case and for the stay on the gag order, which would allow him to publicly comment on what's going on. And specifically, he could comment on the judge's daughter, who works for a Democrat-aligned consulting firm. If this was a trial against a prominent Democrat and the daughter of the judge worked for a Republican-aligned consulting firm, you better believe that Democrats across the country would be up in arms. They would say he's got to recuse himself. Apparently, over the weekend, there was a bit of a stare down between New York Judge Juan Marchand and President Trump after he had expanded that gag order on President Trump for criticizing the unfair nature of this court situation. And of course, the daughter who's representing Democrats, Lauren Marchand, she is a far left political operative. She's worked for the Biden-Harris campaign, and the media has basically infantilized this 34-year-old woman in an effort to attack President Trump's First Amendment rights. The mainstream media came out, he's attacking the daughter of a judge. Well, she's an adult. She's a big girl. She can do whatever the hell she wants, and President Trump should be able to say whatever the hell he wants. Lauren Merchant's firm is called Authentic Campaigns. Now, it wouldn't be a problem. Wouldn't be a problem if she hadn't received tens of millions of dollars from the same Democrats who were all working to take down President Trump right now. According to the New York Post, Lauren Marchand helped Democrats raise $93 million off of that case. The cases against Donald Trump are being used as a fundraising vehicle for the Democrats, and it just so happens that the daughter of one of the judges who is going after President Trump in this very unfair case is using that very same case to fundraise off of the backs of President Trump and, of course, his family, who are also suffering. So on Saturday, President Trump blasted Judge Juan Marchand and the other crooked left-wing New York judges who have all ruled against him in a variety of lawfare cases, put out a couple of Truth Social posts, and you know how President Trump does. So President Trump said he, of course, is going to continue to tell the truth, and he's gladly going to become a modern-day Nelson Mandela, and he's willing to sacrifice my freedom for that worthy cause. We've said before, it is very possible that the Democrats will lock President Trump up. I think they're trying to do everything they can not to, because they're not that stupid, right? I mean, like, they continue to make boneheaded moves. But I think they recognize that if they throw President Trump in jail, all it's going to do is increase his mystique and his profile with the American people. He will once again herald the coming deep state authoritarian rulership of the 1984 style world that we live in, warning the American people that if they can throw Trump in jail, then they can throw you in jail. This is not America when you can't use your freedom of speech. This is not America when you can't defend yourself against the lies of the mainstream media. He said, now we have Marshawn, who is not allowing me to talk, thereby violating the law and the Constitution all at once. It is so bad what he's trying to get away with. How was he even chosen for this case? I heard he fought like hell to get it, and the rest of them also. If this partisan hack wants to put me in the clink for speaking the open and obvious truth, I will gladly become a modern-day Nelson Mandela. It will be my great honor. We have to save our country from these political operatives masquerading as prosecutors and judges, and I am willing to sacrifice my freedom for that worthy cause. We are a failing nation, but on November 5th, we will become a great nation again. Make America great again, President Trump said on Truth Social. Hallelujah. I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see them do this. I said before, many long time ago, you know, like, go ahead, try me. Try President Trump. Throw him in jail. OK, all you're going to do is make him more popular. He's already the Jesse James of modern political operatives. Donald Trump. He's a legend. He's a legend. And you're going to turn him into a god, not like the god, but, you know, a sun bronzed Greek god. He's going to be a political legend if you put him in jail. President Trump knows that. He's going to make more merchandise with his face on them. Donald Trump in an orange jumpsuit. Can you imagine? How pissed off are you going to be? And you guys are just one person, each one of you, one single person. The entire country is going to see President Trump behind bars, and they're going to say, this is not America. This is the antithesis of what America represents, and we got to do something about it. We got to vote for Trump. We got to bring Trump back. And that's what we're doing. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is floundering, trying anything at all to bring his profile anywhere near the level of Donald Trump. Right now, Donald Trump is up here. Joe Biden is down here. He's basically got his forehead pressed against the bottom of Donald Trump's Buster Browns. Joe Biden would do anything to gain the sort of adulation, notoriety, love of the American people. Nobody loves Joe Biden. Nobody even likes Joe Biden. Joe Biden's own family doesn't like Joe Biden. I mean, he took naked showers with his daughter. God knows what he did to Hunter. He also went out and married a younger woman almost as soon as Hunter's mother and sister were killed in front of him in Bow. My God. Joe Biden's a creep. We'll talk about that. But Joe Biden's latest plan is to defy the Supreme Court of the United States yet again. He unveiled a brand new plan earlier today that's going to give even more student loan debt to millions of Americans nearly a year after the Supreme Court said, you can't do that, Joe. You can't do that. He said, well, watch me. So the administration outlined its latest plan to now give student loan debt relief to more than 4 million Americans. That's going to wipe out at least $5,000 in debt for more than 10 million borrowers and fully eliminate accrued interest for 23 million borrowers. That's according to a White House press release. So the Supreme Court previously had blocked Joe Biden's plan in June of 2023 to grant amnesty to something like 40 million debt borrowers using the executive power in the office of the presidency. That was a 6-3 decision. Now, the White House had said in a press release, while Republican elected officials try every which way to block millions of their own constituents from receiving student debt cancellation, President Biden has vowed to use every tool to cancel student debt for as many borrowers as possible, as quickly as possible. Well, it didn't work out because it was the Supreme Court. It wasn't Republicans in Congress that stopped it from happening. They told him that what he wanted to do was unconstitutional. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. But as we always say, when has something like the law ever stopped the left from just ramming through whatever the hell they want to do? I mean, this is what dictators do. This is what authoritarian leaders do. This is what communists do. Okay? Constitution? I don't need no stinking constitution. I don't care about the law.
You can just sit down. I'm going to cancel all your student loan debt, whether you want it or not. Yes, yes.
So the president traveled to Madison, Wisconsin, to discuss his plans, and the White House put a press release out. So in total, the admin is saying that it has now relieved 4 million more Americans from at least $146 billion in student loan debt as through a series of executive actions. I just want to go on record, say again, my student loan debt has not been canceled. I am still paying every single month. And as a part of this brand new plan, low and middle income Americans are going to have their interest forgiven if they're enrolled in an income driven repayment plan. So that is going to include those who attended a low financial value institution. So that's pretty much everybody. What do they consider a low financial value institution? Is that like anything that's not an Ivy League? Sorry, you went to Western Michigan University? Okay, we'll take care of you. So the Biden administration is lawlessly ignoring the Supreme Court and Congress by launching yet another massive student loan bailout program. Last year, the Supreme Court said that mass student loan cancellation is unconstitutional, but Biden has made it clear that he won't respect that decision. He's acting as a king, not a president. That's Elaine Parker of the Job Creators Network Foundation. So, you know, also by doing this, he is essentially making degrees valueless. Or, I mean, so what's the point? I mean, what did you pay for? What about everybody else who's already paid their student loans off? What about the people who are not in that subgroup of people who are going to get their student loans paid off? I mean, it's very arbitrary, and it's also completely unfair to people who went to a trade school or who just opened up their own business or, I don't know, who apprenticed and became a plumber or an electrician or something like that. There's also a lot of people who don't deserve to have their debt forgiven, but are going to have it forgiven anyways. What about the people who changed their major like 16 times and just kept going to college and just kept taking out loans? I mean, those people are probably end up as gender studies majors, and they're also in an income driven repayment program because they're not getting real work. And so, you know, maybe they're the ones who are going to get their stuff canceled. Surtur. 1959, I took $1,500 in student loans when I was in college. I used being homeless to get everything else. I became disabled, tried to get a legit disability deferment. It went to collections. Yes, I've definitely been in collections before. And at a certain point, I got it all cleared up. I got back on track. But I have a lot more than $1,500 in student loan debt. So regardless of this, This is obviously like in flaunting the decision that the Supreme Court made. So it's an interesting time that we're living in because generally federal authority has superseded state authority. Well, now the states are telling the federal government, you know, F off. We're going to take care of it because you're not doing it. Also, the Supreme Court of the United States has been the final arbiter of what's legal here in the United States, and the federal government is telling them, F off, we don't care what you say. And take a look at this. This is Joe Biden actually speaking about this brand new plan where he specifically calls out the fact that he just doesn't give a rat's ass what the Supreme Court said.
Tens of millions of people's debt was literally about to get canceled. But then some of my Republican friends and elected officials and special interests sued us, and the Supreme Court blocked us. But that didn't stop us. No, I mean it sincerely. We continue to find alternative paths to reduce student debt payments.
Yes, bitch fits. This is exactly my point. Bitch fits says, I paid my student loans. I want a refund. Yeah, so if you got a job that allowed you to pay your student debt off very quickly, well, then you basically did it wrong. You should have just waited until the federal government showed up in like a knight in shining armor and just basically took care of everything for you. It's a totally unfair. And honestly, I don't think that this is going to stand. I mean, once the debt's been discharged, I highly doubt that they're going to come back later and say, guess what? You're going to still owe us that money. I mean, once it's gone, it's probably going to be gone. But there's like a whole lot of us out there who are not going to be touched by this. I mean, like, they're certainly not looking to help out fledgling citizen journalist podcasters. I mean, I'm just not in that group of people. It's pretty funny, but I don't care. I anticipated having to pay these loans for as long as I have. It is what it is. So we just have yet another case of the administration doing whatever the hell they want to do, despite what the legal authorities tell them not to do. What's really funny is that even though he's canceling all this student loan debt, like, he's basically bent over backwards to appeal to the young and unemployed who took on this student loan debt, probably got a stupid gender studies degree, and are unable to find work, living in their parents' basements, et cetera, et cetera. And those people are not vowing, those people are not voting for Biden. They are turning their backs on Biden. Some of the most liberal talking heads in America have turned their back on Joe Biden. Take as an example, Chunk Yogurt, Chunk Uyghur. He admits that the Democrats rig elections for corrupt politicians like Joe Biden. He's now saying that he's probably going to vote for RFK Jr. And I welcome it. From what I understand, the Biden campaign is freaking out. Like, they are literally quaking in their boots because they understand that RFK Jr. is probably going to deep six their campaign. How are they going to steal all those votes when all of those people who wouldn't even normally vote show up to vote and then they cast their ballot for RFK Jr. instead of Joe Biden? And then, of course, you have the uncommitted votes, which, you know, we got hundreds of thousands of people who just don't want to vote for anybody at this point. So they're not going to vote for Trump. They wouldn't have voted for him in the first place. So it's a net gain. They're not going to vote for Donald Trump. They were never going to vote for Donald Trump. They're also now not going to vote for Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. So that is a withdrawal from Joe Biden's category. And then Chunk Yogurt and the Young Turks, along with Anna Kasparian, it's been really kind of funny watching them kind of attenuate their political stances on a lot of things. I attacked them pretty good during the whole Kyle Rittenhouse stuff because they told a lot of lies, a lot of falsehoods. And now it's like they're looking at the country, the same country we are, and they're watching it fall apart. And they're like, why does the left keep doing this? Well, it's you guys were a part of the problem. So you've kind of assisted the country in this downward slope. And now I'm glad that you guys are waking up. It doesn't mean that they're going to support Donald Trump. But I think that it means that when Donald Trump comes back, it may be possible for them to honestly look at what he's doing for the country, especially considering the fact that they've been forced to look at what Joe Biden has been doing to the country. I am very excited to see it. Tell you what, you guys, do me a favor. If you are watching over on Rumble, I would sincerely appreciate it if you hit the like button. If you would just hit that like button, it's the thumbs up. It's directly below the screen where you're watching the video. It's basically like you're going to waste 5 calories lifting your arm up and hitting that button. If you're watching on Roku, you don't even have to move. You just flick your thumb and you can click the remote until you get up to the thumbs up and then push the enter button. If you're watching over on Pilled, you guys have probably already hit that red pill. If you're watching over on Getter, I think you just like tap the screen over and over again. And the same with Twitter. You just tap the screen and hearts show up, and then it lets people know it's a good show. And if you want to really help out the show, you can support it with the links that are in the description, or you can support through the Gold Pills or through the Rumble Rants, or you can even share this show, the one you're watching right now, on social media. There's a share button. It looks like an arrow coming out of a box. You just click that, and then you choose your social platform, and then you let everybody know, hey, I'm watching a great program right now. It's called Red Pill News with my friend Zach Payne on Red Pill 78. All right, let's talk about the eclipse. Let's talk about the eclipse. So, what did scientists hope to learn from today's eclipse? And did they even learn anything at all? The thing that was special about today's eclipse, it was a total solar eclipse sweeping across North America. Kind of rare. They only happen every so many years. This sun cycle is basically at the peak, too. The sun is on like a grand solar minimum and grand solar maximum. It's at an 11-year solar peak right now, which means that if you had the right equipment to watch this solar eclipse, then it had the opportunity to be just a little bit more dramatic than maybe one you might have seen previously. The corona, I guess, was expected to glow spectacularly as the moon passed directly over it. Only that certain path here in the United States is where you could see the eclipse in its totality. It's funny, over the weekend, they put an announcement out that apparently they had miscalculated. I guess that's what diversity, equity, and inclusion do for the scientific community, because I can't imagine 10 years ago they're talking about an eclipse. I mean, something as big as this, I think they would have probably gotten it right the first time. Nurse Penny here. Thank you so much, Nurse Penny. Zach is wrong. Studies show pushing the thumbs up button burns 322 calories and increases objective sexiness. Look at that. Penny's a nurse. I'm going to default to her on this. 322 calories. That means, you know, do the math and figure out how many Snickers bars you guys can eat. If you hit that like button every single day I'm on the air, that's 6 days a week, six times 322. You guys, you know, I think it's a net win for everyone here. So this solar eclipse, according to NASA, was going to offer incredible scientific opportunities. Of course, the U.S. Space Agency, NASA, they're one of the people who were interested in checking it out. They were going to be launching some sounding rockets so that they could study the effects on the upper atmosphere of the Earth. Also, when the moon was to pass directly in front of the sun, they were looking at the outermost edge of the sun's atmosphere, the corona, because it's going to be visible in a way that they couldn't actually see before. So things are happening within the corona we don't fully understand, they said. There is a heat within the corona that intensifies with the distance from the sun's surface. You would think that the closer you are to the center of the sun, the hotter it would be, but it actually gets hotter, hotter, hotter as you get out. Now that I'm thinking about it, think about a campfire. It is hotter, hotter, hotter as it gets out. Or is it? I don't know. I guess maybe I'm totally wrong on that. But it seems like it is hotter as you reach to the outside. So the scientific community was definitely looking at this, and they wanted you to think that perhaps there was going to be some sort of a terrible event taking place. And the news about CERN spinning back up the particle accelerator today during the eclipse, a lot of people were very afraid of that as a possible inflection point, if you will, because it's been off for 2 years. So why did CERN decide to fire up this Large Hadron Collider during the solar eclipse on this particular day? I guess they were trying to cover an unknown scientific phenomena like dark matter or dark energy. Basically, they're looking for something that they want to quantify that they don't have the knowledge or the even definition of yet. So on the website for CERN, it said, although the solar eclipse on April 8th will not affect the beams in the Large Hadron Collider, the gravitational pull of the moon, like the tides, changes the shape of the LHC because the machine is so big. If you go back to 2012, CERN gained a lot of attention after it was reported that scientists there had discovered the Higgs boson particle. This is the one that they've called the God particle, small g, not uppercase g. And they also described their Large Hadron Collider as the most powerful accelerator in the world. It boosts particles such as protons, which form all of the matter that we know. They accelerate it close to the speed of light, and then they collide with other protons. They basically make them blow up inside this chamber, and then the collisions produce these massive particles, just like the Higgs boson or the top quark. Now, none of these things are things that we can see, so they could just as easily be pieces of dust as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it means very, very little for the general public, but obviously science gonna science. All right, so with that being said, the eclipse began today all across North America. Lisa and I went outside. We tried to watch it. I did get a little bit of footage, but I couldn't tell that anything different was going on. It looked like maybe on the edge there was a little bit of an indentation. But here it looks like 50 Cent actually was able to post some footage of Donald Trump and Melania actually seeing the eclipse. So we're going to go ahead and watch it with President Trump. And tell me if this is what you guys saw. Here we go. Wait for it. Wait for it. Fuck Joe Biden.
What? Oh, my God.
Fuck Joe. Even the eclipse knows.
This is...
Freya, I know it's from 2017. Freya, what the f- Don't you have a sense of humor, dude? Is it too early for you? Oh, God.
Oh. Oh, my God.
Oh, you're good, dude. You're good. Yeah, people are just so quick to tell me I'm wrong. Hold on. My monitor quit working. Oh, man. Come on. It's not an average day on the set if something doesn't go wrong. This is what happens when you cobble your podcast studio together with copper wire and duct tape. All right. So anyways, I don't have anything else other than that. I didn't think that anything else that they could actually show us from the eclipse would be as epic as that. But here, let's go ahead and go to this Breitbart article and see if they got any actual footage of it. All right. So this is the new path, or maybe this is just Airbnb rentals. I'm not sure. Yeah, they got nothing, man. They got nothing. All right. So anyways, let's see if we can pull up solar eclipse footage. Here we go. It's from the Daily Beast. I don't want to watch it there. Let's go. All right. Oh, okay. So this is from Mexico. If it says FJP, I'm going to die. I mean, it's pretty. Ooh, yeah, look at that. You know what's funny is I guess I could have ordered these filters for my camera, and I could have gone outside and gotten beautiful footage. I'll just have to wait another 18 years now. Oh, that was quick. What's so funny to me is that, like, there was so much buildup over this. There was so much buildup. And Lisa and I, we punched a hole in a bag of chips. We just couldn't get anything to work. I was like, this is totally not worth it. Why is everybody freaking out? So think about everybody who rented an Airbnb and drove like 10 hours to go stay. All those people locked in traffic, people just getting out of their cars, looking up at the sun, trying to figure out what the heck's going on. Here's the view from Michigan. My mom actually had a pretty good view. Oh, this looks much different. Oh, my condolences, Freya. I guess it's a totality
this
in Dallas.
This is so amazing. Oh my
that's
gosh,
that's
it's
pretty.
Dark. It is dark here in Dallas. We've got totality. And we have a little cloud.
Let me just also, you're not supposed to look directly at the sun, even when the moon's in front of it, because you can burn the backs of your retinas. So I don't know what the heck this guy's doing. Brian Murphy says, bow down. I have blocked out the sun and will not return until you offer a generous tithe to my shaman, Zach. Oh, it's over? Okay, oopsie. Sorry, Zach. I tried. Well, at least hit the thumbs up. Thank you so much. Cass-ass Rumble says, yes, Zach, that's what I watched. Fox Weather, it was great coverage. So, Cass, can you explain to me why he's looking up there? Do they have, like, some sort of a UV filter on the top of the stadium or something?
But that's okay. Darkness.
Twin
over
brother
Dallas.
Darkness.
The lights are out at the Cotton Bowl. And this is what we have. I've got Carrie Black asking for the sun to move away, the cloud to move out of the sky. Look at the planet.
I can't believe
the planet's emerged. I think that's Venus. Oh my gosh, there it is! Kerry! Oh my god!
It's pretty. It's pretty anyway. All right. Elle says I looked right at it, not blind. I know it's okay if you look at it for a little bit, but you can't look at it for too long. And from what I understand, it's the duration of time that you look directly at it. But either way. Okay. Yes, it's safe to look at the sun for a period of time, but not directly at it and allowing it to hit the back of your retinas. All right. So also over the weekend, guys, while I was in while I was at the premiere in Venice, Florida, I guess there was an earthquake in New Jersey and some dopey members of the liberal left here in America, they tried claiming that a New Jersey earthquake was the result of climate change. And this woman right here, she's actually a candidate for the New Jersey Senate. And she took a lot of heat for putting out this tweet saying that this earthquake was caused by the climate crisis. Now, of course, the internet did not let her sleep on that. She is a Green Party member who is running for the New Jersey Senate, and she said that the climate crisis is the reason behind this recent earthquake in the Northeast. It doesn't have anything to do with plate tectonics or even like oil and gas drilling. It doesn't have anything to do with fracking, I'm sure. My mother says, show the pic I texted you. I did not get an eclipse despite supposedly having 96% coverage. Well, the reason I wasn't going to show it, Mom, is because it's like totally anticlimactic. Hold on. All right. So I have to bring it over onto my computer. Hold on just a second. Let me change my view so I don't dox you. Okay. All right. So let's so this is, I guess, what it looked like in Michigan, which is like nothing. Okay. Sun. Downloads. Oh, Mom, it's an iPhone picture. I can't pull it up. Just okay. Trust me, guys. It looks like the sun. It just looks like the sun. All right. I have to bring it into Photoshop and convert it. It's not going to work. Okay. So the New York Post on Saturday reported that Christina Amira Khalil, the Green Party member who is running for New Jersey Senate, wrote the post not long after the quake was felt throughout the state. She said, I experienced my first earthquake in New Jersey. We never get earthquakes. The climate crisis is real. The weirdest experience ever. So people just gave it to her on Twitter. She skipped science class, somebody said. She probably thinks Guam is going to flip over too, someone else commented. Another person said more lies to scare everyone. So the so-called climate change earthquakes are not connected because an earthquake happens because of plate tectonics. That's the two plates rubbing against each other underneath the Earth's surface where there is no climate. There's no carbon. There's no carbon dioxide. There's no carbon monoxide. I mean, yeah, of course, you're going to have trace elements in the dirt, but there's no atmosphere. So there's also no plants. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different things, but it's not like it is up above the surface of the Earth. We know that most earthquakes occur far beneath the Earth's surface, well beyond the influence of surface temperatures and conditions. That's from NASA. We know the statistical distribution of earthquakes is approximately equal across all types of weather conditions. Myth busted. So meanwhile, officials said that there were approximately 18 aftershocks from the 4.8 magnitude earthquake, and tremors were even felt in Washington, D.C., all the way to New York and Maine. Now, when the earthquake hit, officials began working to determine if there was any damage that was incurred. Authorities reported very slight or no damage, and the NYPD said no one was injured and nothing happened. Here we go. This is an actual live view of someone experiencing the earthquake. From what I understand, President Trump's golf course was within the boundaries of the earthquake. Let's take a look. Can you guys hear that? I don't hear anything at all. Here we go.
Is this an earthquake? Yo! Is this an earthquake? Yo, what the f***? Yo, am I in an earthquake? Yo, my house is shaking. Yo, what the f***?
Be funny if the Sopranos came running out. I've always wanted to be in an earthquake. When I lived in California, I think there was something slight, but really nothing to write home about. Oh, here we get to see the dog. The dog's like, whoa, bro. Oh. Holy. What the? What was that?
See, that was an earthquake. Oh my God!
Oh, what a good boy! What a good boy! He's like, give me
what
a sausage.
An earthquake, Lucy. Holy crap.
Let's go outside.
Oh, my God.
This crack wasn't here.
Uh-oh. Climate change, guys.
This crack wasn't here.
I want to see videos of people just freaking out, just losing their shit. That's what I like. Okay. Let's see. The Colonel's Corner said if you want an interview with her, Zach, to get a hold of her when you have a chance. I asked her, are you talking about Colonel Towner Watkins? I know the Colonel. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't see why I wouldn't. She was at the event on Friday, but I didn't see her. I was thinking I was going to. Brian Cates was there as well, but I didn't see him either. All right. So, on the topic of climate change, there is an article that was just written by Peter Sweden. Peter Sweden, he's talking about geoengineering, obviously chemtrails. It's something we've spoken about on many different occasions, but he's talking about actual documentation of specific experiments that were happening and that have been ongoing. This is from the deck of a decommissioned aircraft carrier in San Francisco. I guess researchers from the University of Wisconsin had launched trillions of salt particles into the atmosphere with the intent of blocking out the sunlight to the Earth. Now, obviously, that to anybody with a brain, that sounds like a bad idea. But of course, they're telling us that they need to do it because of global warming. Now, if they're telling us that they're just starting to do it now, I think anybody who has been paying attention to the skies, you already know they've been doing it for many, many years. This isn't a conspiracy theory. It's not a theory at all. I mean, it is a conspiracy of sorts, but it's not a theory. They have definitely been doing this for many years, and they don't want people to know about it because then people can get outraged about it. Now, we've been saying something about this for a very long time. Trillions of particles of solid matter getting injected into the atmosphere definitely sounds like a bad idea to anybody who has half a brain to think about this stuff. They are now telling us that they're actually doing it. Now, we know the state of Tennessee just recently banned geoengineering in this state. I think that that is a very, very good sign because it shows that state legislators are beginning to take this seriously. It also means that other states in the vicinity of Tennessee, they might begin to take it seriously as well. I saw somebody in the chat say, I wish that Ron DeSantis would address it. Well, I think that it would actually have to be your state legislature, our state legislature, that would have to address it. We'd have to talk to the assembly. We'd have to talk to our elected representatives. Now, I suppose Ron DeSantis could pass an executive order. You could just, you know, say, you know, I ban chemtrails or spraying for geoengineering in the state. But I think that it's more likely that it's going to happen at the representative level. We've got to go back to them. So anyways, I just thought it was interesting that this is starting to get a little bit more coverage and people are now talking about it openly and honestly. It is something that has always worried me. I haven't been very excited about it since the moment I learned of it. And I think that as more and more people grow to understand the true nature of what geoengineering is, the more people are going to demand that they stop it. So call your representative. Let them know what happened in Tennessee. Did anybody out there, when I reported on that initially, did anybody out there call their elected officials and let them know, hey, do you realize what Tennessee just did? I live very close to Tennessee. Well, I mean, closer than other people. But obviously, I'm down here in Florida. Now, I don't ever see chemtrails in the sky around where I'm at. And I don't know if that's because I'm too close to the coast or if it's something else. But I go outside and I look frequently. I live by an airport as well. Okay. Okay. So one thing that kind of did worry me about the conversation about, you know, disaster preparedness around this solar eclipse was the fact that, you know, there is ample opportunity for terrorists and bad actors who wanted to come through the southern border to do so and prepare to take us into some, you know, horrific nightmare scenario. And not that long ago, the intelligence community, the FBI and other organizations had warned about the threats facing the United States of America. They actually warned against people going out to public events. And then they kind of warned everybody that, you know, the proverbial shit might hit the fan when it came to this solar eclipse. Obviously, they have identified terrorists that have come through that southern border. Citizen journalists have gotten these people on video. We know that they have made their way into this country. And if the powers that be, the deep state bureaucratic apparatus, wants to pop off a false flag attack, or, you know, they really do want to kill people and they just want to orchestrate the whole thing, they have the opportunity to do so. Look at what they did in Moscow. Russia, they have a pretty good handle on their security situation there. And even still, the deep state itself, through their proxies in Ukraine and their buddies in ISIS, were able to murder about 144 people. Whoa, what the heck just happened? Whoa. Okay. All right, I'm back. They were able to murder quite a few people. And since that time, they have actively warned against these sort of attacks happening here. If they did that, it would be an excellent way for them to suspend elections. So I think that it would probably be much closer to November that you could expect something like that to pop off. But I would just suggest in the meantime that you make sure that you have protection for yourself and your family. What's interesting also now, after announcing to the country that we might be at risk of experiencing a terror attack very, very soon, we're now getting word from the Central Intelligence Agency, working with other members of the United States intelligence community, that they actually want to push Congress to expand Section 702. This is FISA. They want to now use FISA to fight the ongoing fentanyl crisis. Well, let's just be very clear here. They wouldn't have to use FISA to go after fentanyl traffickers if they would have stopped their asses at the southern border before allowing them to come through, or before allowing the Mexican drug cartels to infiltrate the DNC and the Democrat leadership along the southern border. I just saw a story over the weekend about an entire town. The town government was running drugs with the Mexican cartel. They were also trafficking in people with the Mexican drug cartels. And, you know, and those people, they were like the mayor and stuff and like a bunch of other high level positions. It was like a whole family. It was like the Biden crime family, but in a Texas border town. So the top CIA officials have spent most of 2023 and 2024 urging members of Congress to reauthorize Section 702 of the FISA Act of 1978. But they believe that in its current form, it's too limiting. That's right. That Section 702, which they currently use to spy on American citizens, that the FBI was just exposed for using kind of willy-nilly to look up their ex-girlfriends or even their current partners or maybe even themselves or just to spy on average everyday American citizens. It is too limiting for the intelligence community. The intelligence community wants more power under 702. And they're now thinking that using it to target everyone involved in the fentanyl trade overseas is going to allow them to stop that fentanyl from getting here in the first place. I would also say that if they're supposed to be using FISA to go after terrorists, what is more terrorizing than importing a drug that kills people here into the United States? They should be able to use this already. It shouldn't just be because, hey, you know, we're looking at people who are looking at bomb parts, or we're looking at people who are talking about running guns or something like that. I mean, why aren't they already using it for a variety of different things to keep Americans safe? What I'm most worried about is that they're going to reauthorize 702, they're going to expand 702, and then they're going to use that renewed power and that expanded power to listen in on an even greater degree to what's happening here in the United States of America. Think about people, you know, who are they actually going to target? All right, are they just going to target the Chinese that are creating the chemical precursors? Are they just going to target the Mexican drug lords that are bringing the fentanyl in through the southern border? Are they just going to target the illegal immigrants that are using government federally funded cell phones to sell the fentanyl to drug addicts in the streets of Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, rather, I mean, San Francisco, Portland, Oregon? Where does it end? Like, at what point does it stop? Here's the other thing, is that the CIA is directly responsible for creating a large part of the drug problems that we face here in the United States of America. I think that the CIA, besides just wanting to go after average everyday American citizens and listen in on your phone calls and get things that they can blackmail you on, they also want the ability to stamp out the competition. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, how much money do you think the CIA loses every single year to the drug lords of foreign nations, drug lords that they don't already have on their payroll? The CIA uses drugs to fund their black budget operations, things they can't take to Congress, things they can't ask for appropriations for, things that, you know, are such as running the actual deep state here in the United States of America, clandestine operations, both at home and abroad. If the CIA was able to use Section 702 of the FISA Act to go after their various competitors, well, then they could just take over the entire market. And then the next thing you know, the CIA is the largest drug producer and importer in the entire world, if they're not already. I think that that makes a lot more sense. So the CIA, this is from USA Today, the CIA and broader intelligence community want to do more to fight the fentanyl crisis, killing tens of thousands of Americans a year. And they're quietly pushing Congress to let them expand their use of a controversial and top secret eavesdropping program to do it. Senior intelligence officials have spent the last year trekking to Capitol Hill to push for reauthorization of Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which allows them to conduct warrantless eavesdropping on foreigners overseas. If y'all remember, FISA was also used to eavesdrop on American citizens throughout the Crossfire investigations. As the nation's primary spy outfit, the Central Intelligence Agency, in particular, says the intelligence collection allowed under Section 702 is urgently needed to thwart transnational organized criminal groups manufacturing and smuggling the lethally potent synthetic opioid from China to Mexico and into the U.S. If you think that the CIA doesn't already have their sticky little fingers in all of those pies, then you are sorely mistaken. Currently, and this is the law, the CIA can only use Section 702 against drug traffickers if it can connect them to one of three certified threat groups. Obtaining a so-called fourth certification would allow U.S. spies to more closely and freely go after those involved in the fentanyl trade without having to make such connections, two senior U.S. intelligence officials said. Now, Congress has until April 19th to reauthorize FISA 702 before its sunset provision runs out. I sincerely hope that they do not reauthorize FISA. I hope that they come up with some other warrantless eavesdropping mechanism that allows them to look outside of the United States without spying on American citizens. They already spy on everything and everyone, and they already know who is making the drugs, who's importing the drugs. They already know all of it. Dirk McGurkin says, is it safe to watch a nuclear blast with my used Eclipse glasses? Asking for a friend. Well, I hope that we never find out the answer to that question. I honestly don't know, though. If you're close enough to see a nuclear blast, well, you know, it's probably not going to matter much anyways. You guys remember that Venezuelan illegal who was teaching other illegals how to illegally steal homes from American citizens while at the same time capitalizing on the stupidity of Democrats and Democrat lawmakers all across America? Yeah, that guy, the one who got arrested by ICE and picked up after he'd gained too much steam on TikTok. He was crying. There was snot falling out of his nose and his baby was grabbing it. It was so odd. Well, anyways, Lionel Moreno, he loved bragging on social media about how to take advantage of the American system. He was the one who crossed illegally at Eagle Pass border down in Texas back in April of 2022 because Joe Biden opened his arms and said, come on, Jack. Come one, come all, bring your cold, your tired, your huddled masses, and America will pay for your children. He showed all of his, half a million followers how to steal houses from American citizens. Well, now he is in the possession of Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, and he is giving interviews to the New York Post. He says that he's being persecuted. No. Lionel Moreno, you're being adjudicated under the law. So he moaned that he's a victim of unjust persecution during a 30-minute-long video televisit from inside Gwega County Jail in Chardon, Ohio. I came here to the United States because of persecution in my country, but they're doing the same thing to me in the United States, persecuting me. Do we have a clip? Hang on. Yes, let's watch this Clown World clip. I know that my content is not what hurts you. It hurts is that I'm making money, thank you, without the need of being a slave. That's the difference between you and me, he says. That I will always make money without a lot of work. And you are an exploited, a wretch. Do you understand me a little bit? I will always be more than you. Put that in your head, that we are not the same. Look. What it costs you to raise $15,000 in 200 years, I do it in a couple of months. Capiche? Oh, yeah. Well, how'd that work out for you? Okay. Hang on, let's see. We do not have a video of this call, but hang on, where does it start? Okay, here we go. He is the one who told people to seize houses. He says, I'm being persecuted. I came here to the United States, but now they're persecuting me. The interview was in Spanish, and he hid his face from the camera. He added, it's all information. It's all misinformation in the media about me. They're defaming me. They're misrepresenting me in the news. I'm a good father, a good husband, a good son, a good person, humble, respectful to people who respect me. Humble? Well, I think that he may be looking in the wrong mirror. Well, good news, good news. He's going to get shipped back to Venezuela, and hopefully he's not going to be coming back anytime soon. Now, the problem with immigration, unrestricted, illegal immigration, is that it leads to the sort of criminal activity that we saw from Mr. Lionel Moreno, making tens of thousands of dollars, doing absolutely nothing, stealing from the American taxpayer. And now other countries around the world, European countries, arguably it started there first. And the degradation from the unrestrained importation of third world peoples really affected those nations. And it gave us an idea of exactly what was coming for America. Well, now those original European nations that allowed this to take place, they are getting cold feet. Switzerland is going to hold a referendum on what they're calling the devastating consequences of mass immigration. And they could limit the population to 10 million people. The country is renowned for its system of direct democracy because it allows its citizens to trigger referendums if they obtain 100,000 signatures within the space of 18 months. So as a result, the conservative Swiss People's Party this week submitted 114,600 signatures to the federal chancellery in the capital of Switzerland, Bern, which means a referendum has to be held. Mass immigration continues its frantic course with devastating consequences for our small country. And they could not be more correct. So now they are going to need to address this urgent need to protect their unique landscape, their high quality of life, their above average prosperity, and they're going to need to secure their borders for the future and for their children. Now, the question that will be asked, it's not exactly clear, but the proposal is going to give the Swiss an opportunity to vote in favor of a proposal that will provide permanent resident population of Switzerland not to exceed 10 million people before the year 2050. Its current population is just short of 9 million people. So that means that they're dramatically going to restrict any incoming migration. Should the population exceed 9.5 million, the government is going to be forced to take measures in particular regarding asylum and family reunification with a view to ensuring compliance. Now, if this fails, then the country would exit an agreement with the European Union, of which it is not a member. That allows free movement across the continent. The leader of the party, his name is Marcel Detling. He made it obvious that the controlled immigration is the only way forward. Today, too many foreigners are arriving and not the right ones. We need controlled immigration that benefits our country and our population. And I feel that this is the exact same thing we need here in America. We used to care about the people who came across our borders. You used to have to be vetted to come into the United States of America. You used to have something that you must offer the United States of America. Certainly, that's how it is if you go to most other countries around the world, Latin America, Europe, even into Africa. You can't just go someplace and say, guess what? I'm setting up shop. I'm going to take this house. I want it. Give me as much money as it requires me to live and then also make me a star on TikTok. You can't do that. It doesn't work that way. And now we need to do the same thing right here. But we will. It's coming. It's coming very, very soon. I have a tragic announcement, guys. It seems that yet another close associate of the Obamas has lost his life. This is just 3 months after the murder of a high-profile art dealer who flew in the same circles as the former first lady, Michelle Obama. And the art dealer's former husband is facing extradition to Brazil in connection with that crime. Daniel Garcia Carrera has been accused in a murder-for-hire scheme that led to the January 15th death of Brent Sikkema, 75 years old, who was found stabbed to death in his Rio de Janeiro home. And that murder came just before Sikkema was planning to return to the United States of America. In order to extradite Garcia Carrera, Brazil has to make a formal request to the U.S. authorities, and then a hearing for the extradition request is going to be held on June 3rd. Now, Garcia Carrera was arrested by the FBI in March 20th in New York City. He was labeled a suspect in Sicama's death. The FBI also alleged that Garcia Carrera was planning to leave the country with Luis Sicama, 13, who Garcia Carrera and Sicama were raising as their son. Ew, that kind of gives me the willies. I hope this kid is okay. Brent Sicama and Garcia Carrera had been a couple for 15 years, but were going through a messy custody battle over the teenager at the time of Sicama's murder. So this guy had his boyfriend killed, and then he stole his son? That's what it sounds like. Authorities also claimed that Garcia Carrera was planning to flee to his native Cuba. He's been released on a $1 million bond, but also is required to wear an ankle monitor. The New York Times said $40,000 was stolen from Sicama's Brazilian home at the time of the murder. Alejandro Triana Prevez was later arrested after surveillance footage showed him at the home near the time of Sicama's death. Gregorio Andrade, who's an attorney for Perez, said Prevez also accused Garcia Carrera of offering him $200,000 to perform the killing. He manipulated my client. Now, Fabiana Marquez is an attorney for the once boyfriend of the now dead Michelle Obama associate. She says her client is innocent. It's important to note that Daniel was not given an opportunity to be heard by police, despite proactively offering himself for questioning via email. Let me see. Serter says they are persecuting me for being a criminal, just like they did in my country. That's why I came here. He also bragged about working with an African illegal gang to do this. Yes, he is a criminal, and that's what's happening to him. It's not because he is being persecuted. Nobody cares about this guy other than the fact that he's a criminal and we want him to pay for his crimes. Speaking of paying for your crimes, Hunter Biden's attorney, Abby Lowell, turns out he and a top aide for Hunter Biden's stepmother, Jill Biden, attended an event at the White House on December 11th of last year. That was just 2 days before Hunter defied a congressional subpoena to appear before Congress. This is the same action which put Peter Navarro in prison for like 4 months, where he is sitting currently right now. How do we know this? Well, White House visitor logs have been reported on by New York Post's Jonathan Levine. The attendance of Lowell and the aide to Joe and Jill Biden, along with the timing of those appearances, raises some questions about whether or not the White House and Hunter's legal team are or were in coordination. I think that there was some discussion at the time that Joe Biden had spoken with his son prior to him defying that subpoena. And so I think that, yes, there definitely was some coordination. And take a look at this picture. Just out of frame is Ivan Raiklin asking Hunter Biden what kind of crack he smokes. The event occurred just days before Hunter traveled to Capitol Hill to hold that press conference. The stunt in where he claimed he was a victim of a House impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden. Karine Jean-Pierre actually admitted that Joe Biden was familiar with what Hunter was going to tell reporters, that he was not going to show up for his subpoena to be interviewed by investigators. So Levine reported on the history and influence of Joe Biden's age. The committee identified Bernal as someone who accessed classified materials at the Penn Biden Center before they were officially discovered there in November 2022. This man, Bernal, the aide to First Lady Jill Biden, was definitely not charged in Joe Biden's classified documents scandal. I wonder if the special counsel who was looking into that thought that he was also elderly and infirmed and unlikely to be convicted of a jury of his peers. Well, if it was going to be a trial held in Washington, D.C., he probably wouldn't have been. So Bernal is known as Jill Biden's work husband. He's become infamous in the White House in recent years. We spoke about him before because he had allegations of bullying and sexual harassment that have been circling around him for years. He's a gay man Quite often, gay men in positions of power seem to think that they can get away with whatever they want. It just happens. Seem to see it all the time. She's been working with Mr. Bernal since 2008, and he's basically considered untouchable because of how close he is to the Biden crime family. The House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer was quoted as saying the White House must provide the public with information about the contents of this meeting in order to provide transparency to the American people. We've called on the White House to provide information about whether President Biden sought to influence or obstruct our investigation by preventing, discouraging, or dissuading his son from complying with the subpoenas for a deposition as part of the House of Representatives impeachment inquiry. But the White House has refused to comply. Is anyone here surprised? Speaking of Joe Biden, Chanel Rion just did quite the report on him where she pointed him out for being a pedophile. Let's go ahead and listen to this. I love it.
The Department of Injustice is playing cleanup for the Biden family of perverts, and you are paying for it. Case in point, on April 3, 2024, the DOJ asked a Southern District of New York judge to sentence a single mother of two, Amy Harris, to 10 months in prison for having found first daughter Ashley Biden's diary in a Florida halfway house. Immediately after this announcement, I noticed something strange. The news media dutifully parroted the DOJ's exact language from their press release describing the situation and labeling the woman who found the diary as the diary thief, describing it as a diary theft, referring to it as a stolen diary. To be clear, this is not a story about some perverted diary of another drug addict Biden family member. This is a much bigger and more disturbing trend. The DOJ and the Southern District of New York have this habit of going after the people who expose the crimes, not the people who commit them. When this story first broke in 2020, Amy Harris found the diary in what was described as a halfway house. Ashley Biden was in rehab in Palm Beach, Florida, and stayed at this house before moving to Philadelphia in 2020. Amy Harris, also out of rehab, moved in a few weeks later and found Ashley Biden's diary stashed between a mattress. The diary included Ashley Biden's explosive claims of taking showers with her dad, Joe. Ashley Biden would, like her half-brother Hunter, suffer with drug and sex addictions from her early and inappropriate familial relations. The diary was so disgusting, we hoped it was fake. We wouldn't be so lucky. Amy Harris sold this diary to the investigative team at Project Veritas. Ashley herself confirmed it was her diary.
There's a diary here. It starts in January. It says, January, at the end of a New York month, I'm sitting on a bed at the I building.
Yeah, so if you could just give everything that you have to Eric, that would be really great.
I don't want to give this to the wrong person. I mean, I want to make sure...
At this point, and I don't mean to... I don't want to have to get Secret Service involved in this, right? Because it just is, it's a whole process.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I am Ashley Biden. It is my stuff.
Project Veritas never published the full diary. And while even the New York Times had to admit the diary was real, they failed to mention its deeply disturbing contents. They did, however, confirm the FBI was on the case. The Daily Mail next reported that the FBI wasn't investigating Amy Harris for theft at all. There was nothing illegal about finding the diary in a halfway house where Ashley left it. Nor did the FBI say Amy stole the diary. Rather, the FBI was investigating Amy Harris for selling the diary to the media. We find out later, Ashley Biden's lawyer called for the Southern District of New York to get involved. That same day, the Southern District of New York opened an investigation into the journalists at Project Veritas. Pre-dawn FBI raids on journalists followed. No Project Veritas journalist was charged with the crime. But all their devices were seized. The SDNY is the Biden's personal Gestapo. They're not even hiding it anymore. So now the DOJ wants you to think that Amy burgled the diary out of Ashley Biden's nightstand. The reality is, Amy found Ashley Biden's diary in a halfway house, abandoned, like Hunter's laptop. That's not theft. So the DOJ had a PR problem. Either they needed to admit that Joe Biden was a pedophile, or the diary wasn't Ashley's. The DOJ did neither. No one at the DOJ, or in the media for that matter, are curious about the claims made in the journal. But the woman who exposed all of this, she goes to jail. And you pay for it. The diary confirms three things. Joe Biden is a pedophile who produces drug addicts for children. The DOJ will stretch the truth like taffy to protect the Biden name. And the DOJ is willing to throw anyone under the bus who exposes crimes against their dirty China doll politicians. This Ashley Biden diary story is yet another fine example of how the Southern District of New York and the DOJ are operating as the private legal defense firm of the Biden family. Why is the DOJ protecting the Bidens at our expense? For One American News, I'm Chanel Rion, and this is The Fine Point.
Quite the fine point. Obviously, Joe Biden is a pedophile. Obviously, the federal government is protecting him. And obviously, they are willing to go after and destroy anyone who would speak out against their prize pig. They had no problem canceling people like me, people like you, before the election of 2020. Well, guess what? All you did was fortify our positions on alternative media platforms. And here we are going into 2024. Donald Trump is more popular than ever. Joe Biden is more unpopular than ever. And the intelligence community is completely and utterly exposed. Thank you to S18, who says always the best news of the day. Thank you for all you do, Zach. Thank you so much, S18. I appreciate you. Thank you to FilterDog1, who says at the fundraiser, Donald J. Trump said FJB spoiled the Resolute desk. Well, would not surprise me. He's going to have to get it steam cleaned before he moves back in. Liberty Bell says thank you. Much love. God bless you. You make even the news fun. Good. I'm glad. I'll try. Slugtrail says InQtel is the CIA's money-making corp. You'll be shocked to learn they've never lost money. InQtel is essentially a venture capital firm for the CIA. Yes, and that's exactly what they do. Judy the Lady Pug, thank you very much for the cookie. And FilterDog1 says Hunter is CHS, in my opinion. What is that? Oh, Hunter is a confidential human source. Well, you know, he very well may be. All right, so I thought, speaking of pedophiles, I might as well put all these stories together. A Florida woman who had been accused of posing as a 14-year-old homeschooler in order to have sexual relationships with a child is again in trouble in Tampa, Florida. Take a look at 23-year-old Alyssa Ann Zinger. She was arrested back in November, but she's now been arrested again, and she faces charges related to four other alleged victims who are all minors. Now, following that initial arrest back in November, she got charged with 2 counts of lewd and lascivious battery and 5 counts of lewd and lascivious molestation of a person 12 to 15 years of age. Ms. Zinger is accused of contacting a child using the app Snapchat and posing as a homeschooler to engage in a sexual relationship with the young victim. Alyssa Ann Zinger, now arrested again on 2 counts of lewd and lascivious battery, 2 counts of lewd and lascivious molestation. 4 additional accusers in the case bring the total now to 5. And a spokesperson for the Tampa Police Department, which is investigating the case, said Zinger was arrested after more possible victims were identified but did not provide additional details about the allegations. Arrest affidavits are not immediately available as of today. Now, it appears this young woman had a TikTok account because a video shows Zinger wearing a low-cut blue crop top and black leggings dancing to music in a bathroom, according to a clip posted on Saturday. And now she is facing 12 counts in all. Let's take a look. This is her in the courtroom, but where is the clip? Here we go. See if anybody knows this chick from TikTok. Oh, this is her.
Lascivious molestation with a victim aged 12 to 15, to transmission of child pornography by electronic device.
She's in a public bathroom. Look at this. This is the handicap stall in a public bathroom. What are you doing? And you know you're a pedophile. You know you're a pedophile when you pretend to be a 14-year-old to meet 14-year-old boys. You get arrested and you go back for more. Something's wrong with this woman. Something is absolutely wrong with this woman. I would say she's probably been abused in herself in some way. I mean, she's probably had a hard life, but she needs a lot more than just, you know, being let go on her own recognizance. Something is not right in that chick's head. We also have another story about pedophiles. A woman who's a nurse and her husband have just been charged in some very disturbing sex crimes detailing evidence of child pornography and also bestiality. Police said that they found a video of her having sex with a Great Dane. You're also not right in the head if you have sex with dogs, okay? You put together pedophilia and bestiality in the same sentence, and you know something's really, really wrong. Dirk McGurkin says he's not that good at dancing. I'd say her dancing is a butt handicapped. Okay, she's not that good at dancing. I'd say her dancing is a butt handicapped. Yes, she's maybe handicapped. All right, so this woman is a local nurse. Let's see, where at? Well, we don't say, but her husband is a former Navy sailor. They've been arrested on multiple charges of sex crimes, including the two that I mentioned earlier. This was made after the seizure of a phone belonging to the husband, who had been previously apprehended for indecent exposure. Back on March 13th, deputies from the Precinct 3 just outside Houston responded to a distressing incident where William Mitchell Keene, 52, was allegedly caught following and masturbating near young children. Of course, he was promptly arrested and charged with indecent exposure. Now, the deputies not only identified the children Keene had been following, leading to further charges of indecency with the child by exposure, but a search warrant executed on Keene's phone revealed a horrific cache of child sex assault images. On March 27th, a more gruesome aspect of this case was unveiled when Jolie Keene, 53, a nurse by profession, was also arrested. The couple was charged after law enforcement found dozens of disturbing photos and videos on William's phone, including at least one video of Jolie engaging in multiple sex acts with a Great Dane. They were arrested while their children, ages 18 and 10, along with their three dogs, were placed in protective custody after their home was raided. We don't know what kind of environment they were exposed to on a regular basis. Maybe they weren't exposed to anything. Maybe they were exposed to a lot. Respected family nurse at Total Men's Primary Care, Jolie Keene, was terminated from her position the day of the arrest. She faces charges of bestiality while her husband is charged with possession of child pornography, which is a third-degree felony. Both secured bail release. Jolie's was set at $5,000. Williams was set at $50,000. And they did not return home for obvious reasons. They're poor kids and they're poor dogs. And the poor children who are victims of these sick, sick people. I hate hearing stories like this, but I'm so glad they get caught. And I really hope that they get exactly what's coming to them. All right, you guys, we're going to have to end it there today because I have my show tonight at 10:30. But I also have dinner plans with the lovely Real Red Pill 78 girlfriend. So, Minnesota Patriots 76. Yeah, no, we were talking about this the other day. We can take care of this real quick, guys. We can take care of this one real quick. The parents of the victims, they should be given the ultimate authority as to what happens to the people who victimize their children. And I think you guys can get your own juices flowing on figuring out exactly what that's going to do. I just need to say one more thank you to Sean Joe for the can. I really appreciate that. You guys, before we go, can we please get to 1,000 likes on Rumble? We've got 4,057 people here, 791 likes. That's it. Like, if you do anything, if you enjoy the show at all, the only thing that you need to do is just hit that like button. because if we get a lot of likes, then we can get on the Rumble leaderboard and then people find out about the show and then maybe more people hit the like and you don't even have to worry about it anymore. You're off the hook. All right, you guys. Well, listen, I appreciate you. Thank you for being here. Join me tonight for part two of Vatican Assassins on Baseless Conspiracies with my friend John. Also going to talk more about the Flynn documentary premiere, and I may be able to get the footage pushed out. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Purple MAGA, one of the attendees, I don't know if you're out there in the chat, hun, but she gave me these are not stickers. These are magnets. These are Trump 2024 Proud to be MAGA magnets. If you send me a manila envelope, it's got to be big enough for this magnet. A regular envelope is not going to cut it. I think that you should send me a manila envelope, self-addressed stamped manila envelope. Make sure it has enough stamps to get back to you. Then I will throw these in there. I will throw one in there and you can put it on your car. And there's probably like 20 to 30 of them here. So please, if you want a Trump magnet for your car, all it's going to cost you is some stamps. So go to the description of this video, grab the P.O. box information. But before you go, let me just give a big shout out to the final sponsors of tonight's program. That's going to be my friends over at OnenessDrops.com. OnenessDrops.com for your chlorine dioxide water purification kits. Use code RP78 to save 15% off every purchase. Also, head on over to MyPillow.com where you can use code RP78 to save up to 80% off of all of Mike Lindell's amazing American-made products, supporting election integrity and supporting Red Pill 78, the channel. Also, you can head on over to PrepareWithRedPill78.com. My Patriot Supply is offering right now a special deal. It is $30 off a one-week emergency food kit, so you can try it out, see if it's something that you want to get more of, and then you can get more later on. But PrepareWithRedPill78.com is going to give you the best possible deal. And then also my friends at C60Evo.com/RedPill78. Use code RedPill78 to save 10% off of every single purchase. That even includes the bundles. All of these links and more are available in the description of this video. Let me go ahead and pass out these gold pills. Porpoiseful also says, have a very nice dinner. Thank you, Zach. Thank you very much, Porpoiseful, and thank you everybody else for hanging out with us today. Please do me a favor, hit the like button if you're on Rumble. We just hit 930 likes. I know that means you guys are listening. That means that only 70 more people need to hit that like button. And if you hit that like button, then you will really, really, really be helping out the show. All right, if I don't see you tonight at 10:30 on Badlands Media, I hope I see you tomorrow right here at 5 p.m. Good luck and God bless. We'll see you then.